This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innal hamdalillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find, unfortunately, there are many topics in Islam that many individuals begin to differ upon them. And some of these topics, one does not intend to enter upon them, but because some of these topics are major topics at times of possible deviation and corruption and moving away from the pristine orthodox teachings of Islam. Islam is something simple and pure. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with ad-dinul hanafiyya as-samha, came with a pure orthodox monotheistic belief in serving and calling only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the life of the Muslim becomes at-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of their actions. As the Quran mentions, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. Say, indeed, my living, my dying, my sacrifice, my prayers are all committed and devoted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam, something pure and simple. There is nothing ambiguous or hidden inside Islam, something simple to develop and to carry out inside our lives. So we as simple Muslims are searching the best way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's amongst those topics that we find that some people begin to confuse other individuals is a topic of al-wasila or al-tawassul, ways of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does a person perform this action or carry this action out? And that is our intent tonight. No malice intent, no intent to harm individuals or to speak ill of individuals, but to highlight the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah of what is the right way to approach or come close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of our actions are based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, and especially when it comes to ad-du'a, calling or supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the most strongest verses that we find inside the Quran, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ عُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. This ayah is placed inside the ayat which are talking about fiqh of siyam, or the fiqh of Ramadan, about how we perform Ramadan and the rites and the regulations, wa ahmiyatul Qur'an. Then we find this ayah is mentioned, if the servant asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, indeed I am close by to you. Here, if you study the siyaq of the Qur'an, you find many questions are posed inside the Qur'an. People ask many questions to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. They ask you about gambling, drinking alcohol. They ask you about the crescent. They ask you about the menstrual cycle. They ask you about Jibreel or the soul. All these questions you find in the Qur'an always gives a response, قُلْ. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Say it's a harm for the woman. Say there's harm in the drinking of alcohol and gambling. Say, قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. The alternation, the crescent, is مَوَاقِيت, times of prayer and locations of the moon and the day, etc. for the individual. That's the general answer inside the Qur'an. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the disbelievers, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say to these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Yet we find in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If the servant asks about me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not respond, فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. It does not say, you, O Prophet, say to the people, I'm close by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. عُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. I am close by. There's no distinction whether you are a good Muslim, a bad Muslim, sinful Muslim, many good actions, whatever type of Muslim you are. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, I respond to you. Likewise, you find in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call upon me and I will respond. So these ayat are sariha, a clear-cut ayat, which need no ta'wil, need no tafsir. That person needs to begin to say that a way to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do or to have certain intermediaries to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two ayat inside the Qur'an which talk about wasila that we find does not prove what some individuals are trying to claim, that we need to find a way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first verse that we find is Surah Al-Ma'idah, that we find, يَا يُوَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oh, you believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Find a means, a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Strive and struggle in his path that you may become successful individuals. This is the first ayah mentioning the word al-wasila inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Qur'an, verse number 35. And we're going to see how people who have an incorrect belief begin to deviate from this verse to highlight that it is open to seek a way of closeness via the righteous individuals and especially the dead individuals. Obviously, righteous individuals are living. We're going to highlight this is something which is permissible. The other ayah that we find inside the Qur'an, inside the 17th Surah of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Isra, verse number 57, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Those whom you call upon, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals that we find they themselves are seeking a means of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُوا وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْذُورًا. These individuals you are calling upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves are seeking a wasila, a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ways of benefiting themselves, and they are those individuals who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord is something a person should be fearful and worried about. If you go and read the tafsir of this ayah, you find tafsir Abdullah ibn Mas'ud talking about this ayah. This ayah is actually going against the concept of wasila they want to create. He mentions that his tafsir, look at books of Imam Tabari and Ibn Kathir, etc., that you find. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned there were individuals, كَانَ نَاسٌ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعْبُدُونَ الْجِنِ. Nas مِنَ الْجِنِ. There are certain individuals who used to worship the jinn, or anything else worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these jinn, they became Muslims. They submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, So they began to find ways of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via doing righteous actions. That is the tafsir of this verse. This verse does not mean that you begin to seek the way of these individuals or the path of these individuals to bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the Quran is blaming those individuals who turn to the jinn, as the mushrikun used to do, to try to help them. But those jinn have become Muslims. They are trying to find ways of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you read the tafsir of both these ayat that you find, Jamhurul Mufassireen. A large portion of Mufassireen, wa'ala ra'sihim ibn Kathir, if you look at his tafsir, his verses at Surah Al-Ma'idah, all go to the view that the only way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning is ayat, at-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is bil-a'mali salihah, is via the righteous actions. Likewise, Imam Shanqiti in his works, Sahib Adwa'ul Bayan, mentions exactly the same view. These ayat are an evidence that the way that one comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is via doing the righteous deeds or the form of tawassul, which is ja'iz in the sharia. So tawassul that we find now, according to ulama, it carries a meaning, ila ridwanillahi wal jannah. At tawassul bima'na, and tuqarrib ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking paradise. بِفَعْلْ مَا شَرَعَ وَتَرَكَ وَمَا نَهَا عَنْهُ. By doing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated inside the Quran, or those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away from. So this is ibadah. Al-ibadah hiya tawqifiyya. Ibadah is restricted. Just like we learn how to pray, how to fast, all the actions that we do, likewise ways of praying and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is restricted. It is not an open door that any individual can make their own form of ibadah, their own form of worship, their own form of calling, and say this is the way to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find that this is the previous practice of those individuals who try to find intermediaries. And that's the Quran mentions that those individuals, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We only worship these deities or these individuals, لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى, that they may bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran is rebuking this practice. And obviously, it's very dangerous for individuals to follow this practice of the mushrikun, of finding these intermediaries to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Quran mentions, وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are our intercessors with or towards, coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ أَتُنَبِّعُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Are you trying to inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what exists inside the heavens and the earth? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Lofty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of that which they attribute to him regarding these actions of shirk. So this comparing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the creation is one of a belief which is dangerous, because some individuals, they believe the way to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is via an intermediary. So they make tashbihul khalq bil khaliq. They make a similarity between the creation and the creator. And this is a form of kufr, a form of disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. You cannot resemble anything amongst the creation towards or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this use of intermediary, they begin to highlight to mesmerize the people in the use of their language and ability. They say, just like you have the meeting of a king or a queen or a president or a minister, you have to find a way of coming to that person in position. And the only way is via wasila, wasail, ways of coming close to that individual who would then listen to you and then respond to you. The essence of this qiyas, this analogy, is batil, because you're making analogy that the creation is like the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need an intermediary to intercede with him, to come close to him, or need someone to come and intercede or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this belief, this corrupt belief, we need individuals to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like we have upon this dunya. These are things of the dunya, do not exist in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only way that you find that the tawassul al-mashru', the allowed way of the tawassul that we find, does not have doors of ijtihad. The kullu man habba wa dabba, any individual comes and opens up the doors of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three general formats of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first format that we find is a tawassul is taking the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find, everything has been taught to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told us, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ لَيْسَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. There's nothing that will bring you close to paradise except for I've informed you of what to do. So the person has to follow those teachings. The conditions we laid out inside the ulama, clearly two conditions exist in the life of every single Muslim. It's firstly to be sincere, and secondly to follow the teachings of the sunnah. Thus we find inside the end of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter of the Quran, verse 110, that say, I'm only a human being, like you individuals, except revelation has been sent down upon me. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever aspires and hopes to meet his Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let that individual associate no partners with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, you find he mentions there are two conditions for any ibadah to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, it contains ikhlas, sincerity, and secondly, mutaba'ah. It is according to the sunnah, the teachings given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another ayah inside the Quran that we find in the beginning of Surah Al-Mulk, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created death and life to see which of you is going to be best in action. If you pick up the tafsir of Imam al-Baghawi, in there he mentions exactly the same two principles, that the action has to be خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Your actions have to be sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's consensus upon this creed and this belief that this is the only way the action of the individual will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find tawassul by the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran mentions, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. Call upon Him via these names and attributes. So thus each one of us Muslims, we make dua, we make supplication. We find that we may ask, Ya Rab, Ya Rahman, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Tawwab, depending on the situation. Or the one who pardons, who forgives, the one who accepts repentance. Person calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me my sins, my mistakes, whatever it may be, relieve me my problems, my affairs, my difficulties. All these are ways which is ja'iz inside the sharia to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via His names. Likewise, we find inside the Quran, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Enter me via your mercy amongst your righteous servants. So a person prays with such supplications, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find many ahadith, Anta Allah, la ilaha illa ant, you the one and only, Allah, al-ahad, al-samad. Whoever calls upon such supplications, these are ultimate dua, ultimate supplication that person will be responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first form of tawassul that we find, which is ja'iz, which every single Muslim should bring inside their life, calling upon, using the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find in the dua of istikhara that we find individual uses the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second form of tawassul is bil a'mal as-saliha, is via the usage of righteous actions. Righteous actions the person does, a person can use them, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making mention of their actions to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we find the concept of iman. The concept of belief is an action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا. The believers, those individuals say, oh, our Lord, indeed we believe. فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So because of our belief, forgive our sins and rescue us and save us from the fire. So the person is using the righteous action of iman. You call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I have believed, I've submitted, save me and rescue me from the punishment of the hellfire. Likewise, you find shakwa, to complain. You find inside Surah Yusuf, whereby you find Ya'qub alayhi salam, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ya'qub said, he complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي. I only complain my sorrow, my grief, my loss, my hardships to you. So this is one way of taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find Musa alayhi salam, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. He gave water to the two women that were there, then he rested underneath the shade. Then what did he say? فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He said, oh my Lord, whatever you send down upon me, I am in dire poverty, dire need. So after doing his good action of serving them, he's now calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you know my state is in dire need. Likewise, you find Zakariya alayhi salam in the beginning of Surah Maryam mentioned, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. Indeed, my bones have become feeble, have become weak. My hair become grey, become an elderly individual. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّكَ شَقِيًّا. And I've never been an individual who's turned away from making dua towards you. So this is a way of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via making mention of one's righteous action that the person does sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evidence from the ahadith that we find is regarding the three individuals in the hadith inside Bukhari and Muslim, that were individuals who went out on a journey and they were traveling and the weather came, a stormy weather, began to climb through the crevices, the valleys, etc., till eventually they rested or they came into a cave. A great big boulder, a great big rock came and it blocked the entrance. These three individuals, go and study the word in the hadith, proves the concept of making a tawassul bi'amali salihah, making a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via one's righteous actions. These three individuals said, there is no way that we can come out of this blockage. The only thing that we can do, in the wording of Imam Bukhari that we find, illa an tad'u bi salihi a'malikum. The only way we can come out of this difficulty is via calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making mention of our righteous actions. In the riwayah of Imam Muslim that we find, unduru a'malan amiltumuha salihatan lillahi fad'u Allah biha. Look at what good actions you've done inside your life sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making mention of these righteous actions. And just to refresh our memory, the righteous actions these individuals they mentioned, as for one of them, he would always come home and serve milk to his parents. And then he would go to his own children, his family members. One day he returned home, you find that his parents had gone to sleep. And he stood there, waiting for his parents to wake up. And when they awoke, his own children were asking for food or drink, etc. He refused them until he served the milk to them. They drank and they went back to sleep. And then he gave the milk to his own family members, etc. And you find that this boulder, it moves slightly. But he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, I stood there sincerely, made my own family members, my own children to suffer. But for my love for my parents and servitude towards my parents, I've done this action sincerely seeking your face all alone. So the boulder moves slightly, but not enough for them to escape. The second individual, he loved the daughter of his aunt. He had an immense love towards her. Many times he made insinuations or passes towards her, but she refused him, till one day she fell in debt. And she came and she asked him for some money. And he lent maybe, as far as I recall, 100 or 120, whatever currency may be, lent it to her. But he said, I'll give you this wealth if you allow me to enter upon you. And just when he's about to enter upon this woman, she said, don't break the seal except for the due right. That is where fear entered into his heart and he retracted himself. And he said, Ya Allah, you know this was the most beloved individual to me. But because of my fear, my devotion, I stayed away to come close to you. The boulder moved once again. The third individual was an employee who was hired. He went off, left his wealth. The person who had the wealth, he began to use that wealth. That wealth began to accumulate, became immense wealth. This individual came back and said, give me my wealth back. The individual says, whatever you see is your wealth. All the cattle, the beasts, the animals, it's all yours, belongs to you. He said, are you mocking me? He said, no. He said, you left behind your money and I invested it, it grew to this, whatever you see, take whatever you want to take, leave whatever you want to leave. What did the individual do? He took everything, took it all away. This individual once again makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that I was sincere, I could have used this well for my own purpose, but I gave it, I returned it back to this individual, and then the boulder was removed, and they were able to escape and come out. So we find that this is a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third form that we find is dua ar-rajul as-salih, to come to a righteous individual and ask that individual to pray for you, if that individual is living. The most greatest example that we find is the living example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That companions will come and ask him to pray for them. A hadith that comes to mind, you find a hadith in Sahih of Imam Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sometimes you hear certain ahadith, you find them very strange. Sometimes even other individuals may quote them, you think it sounds very strange. But when you go back to reading such ahadith, it crystallizes inside your iman and inside your mind. Abu Huraira came complaining to the Prophet Muhammad, weeping, crying. He said, I'm trying to call my mother to Islam, but she's refusing. She's even made some bad comments towards me. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she becomes a Muslim, she becomes guided. This is whilst the Prophet Muhammad is living. Abu Huraira, hadith in Bukhari, he returns back home. Now he's trying to think, what will get there first? Will I get there first, or will the dua get there first? Mu'jizatul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, miracles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He comes and he knocks on the door. He hears the sound of water, somebody bathing. He knocks on the door. His mother says, wait outside. Wait outside. He waits outside. When she comes out, she opens the door. She says what? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Imagine that. You say we don't believe in the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad. So these are living miracles. The dua travels faster than Abu Huraira enters back into his own home. And he testifies, indeed, you are the messenger of Allah and I submit to the teaching of Islam. Likewise, on many examples, drought, suffering, hardships, companions came to the Prophet Muhammad and asked them, pray for us. Pray to remove these difficulties. The famous hadith that we find in Yawm al-Jum'ah, whilst delivering a sermon, open day, bright sun, no sign of a cloud. An Arab walks into the masjid and says, pray for us. There's drought, there's suffering, everything's being destroyed. And the Prophet Muhammad began to supplicate, raised up his arms, and the whiteness of his armpits was being visualized. And there was no cloud around us. All of a sudden, a cloud came, and rain began to pour, and water began to pour down from the blessed beard of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And it carried on raining, all the way till when? Till the following week. Ulama of hadith, they mentioned, the same person, another person walked in, and what did he say? Pray now to stop the rain. Everything has been destroyed. The valleys are full of water, the animals are suffering, there's hardship. So the Prophet Muhammad did not stop the rain. He said, make it come around us, in the valleys, in the open plain, where it can benefit the individuals. So these are living examples of a righteous individual. The ultimate righteous individual is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Likewise, we find at-tawassul bil iman bil rasul. Al-tawassul via belief towards the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and your obedience towards him. There's no harm in a person saying, Allahumma bi imani bi nabiyika, O Allah, because of my iman with your Prophet, wa ta'ati lahu wa hubbi iyyahu ighfir li. There's no harm in a Muslim saying, O Allah, because of my obedience towards your Prophet, my love towards him, my submission towards following his teachings, and my love, forgive me and pardon me. This is jaiz. This form of dua, supplication, is permissible inside the Quran and Sunnah, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And thus we find the element of the lesson that we learn is mutaba'a, that you find is following the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The Quran lays out the criteria. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it shallow claims? Is it just becoming emotional and saying we love the Prophet Muhammad sallam? You don't practice his sunnah inside your life, you don't read his ahadith, you don't implement them, you don't teach them, you don't disseminate them, you don't apply them. Is that real love? The answer is given. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Make ittiba', not ibtida. Make ittiba', follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not innovate. And what will happen? Allah will love you and forgive your sins. رَدُّ الْفِعْلِ. So the answer is given, the question there. This is what you have to do to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Oh, our Lord, we've heard a caller who's calling towards any iman. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. A caller is calling out the call, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. The caller is whom? Is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Our Lord, pardon our sins and mistakes and discrepancies, and forgive us and make us die amongst the pious individuals. وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ. And give us what you promised upon the tongue of your messenger. And do not disgrace us on the day of judgment. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Indeed, you do not go against your promise. So these are all ways of tawassul al-mashru'. ways of coming close to the Prophet Muhammad via, or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the Prophet Muhammad, by mentioning your iman, your belief, your conviction, and your application of your life, your daily life towards the Prophet Muhammad. Obviously comes now, when is it forbidden, or the forbidden form of tawassul that we find, which is not allowed. Just because certain ulama who respected al-ajilla may have mentioned certain things inside their books, does not mean that this becomes total evidence. Because we are individuals, our life is based upon evidences. It's not based upon personalities or certain individuals. Whatever is evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, that is what an individual has to follow. So for example, Imam Subki, famous Shafi'i scholar, he mentioned أن التوصل بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جائز في كل حال قبل خلقه وبعد خلقه وفي حياته وبعد مماته. Or any form of tawassul is allowed regarding the Prophet Muhammad, before he even became into creation or came into existence, after he was created, whether he's alive, whether he's dead, بعد موته, inside the barzakh, whatever space of time, maybe it's all jais. You can call upon the Prophet Muhammad to alleviate you or to make tawassul via that we find. So amongst the evidences that some people want to use to prove the point, and all the ahadith that we find that they use in general are weak, except for two ahadith that we're going to quote. Remember we mentioned in the beginning that Islam is based upon authenticity. If you have sound narrations, there's no need to turn to weak and fabricated narrations to base your foundation. That should be crystal clear. It's principles of ulama of hadith, that which is authentic suffices individuals. There's no need to turn to weak narrations. So we're going to be just and fair and highlight those narrations, those two narrations which are correct. And what is the meaning of tawassul inside these ahadith? As for the rest of the ahadith, if you go read the books of ulama of hadith, have all been made weak or very weak or fabricated, rejected or baseless. Obviously time does not permit us to go through every single hadith that individual quote, but we're going to mention some of them which are very famous to highlight what ulama of hadith have mentioned. Not our own interpretation, person can say you interpreted this hadith, but classical ulama mentioned about these ahadith. The authentic hadith that we find, the use of the hadith inside Imam Bukhari regarding Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أن عمر إذا قحطوا استسقى بالعباس بن عبد المطلب, that when there was drought, you find Umar began to use Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to call upon the people to tell him to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فقال اللهم إنا كنا نتوصل إليك بنبينا. Oh Allah, we used to come close to you via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and used to give us rain. وإنا نتوصل إليك بعم نبينا فسقنا. Indeed, now we're making tawassul. We're coming close to you via the use, of the uncle of your Prophet. So give us rain. قال فيسقون, and then they were given rain. So now people are using this hadith that you can actually use the personality, the rank and the honor of the Prophet Muhammad to make a tawassul. That's what the debate is about. Using this hadith, not the dua of the Prophet Muhammad, but use his honor, his rank, that we can now come close to making tawassul towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a number of points can be extracted from this hadith. This hadith inside Bukhari that we find took place in the 18th year of the Islamic calendar, whereby you find that there was a severe drought, severe famine was taking place at that time. It was known as the year of drought and famine, according to ulama of hadith and mu'arrikhun at that time, historians. So there was a dire severity need of water to come down. So now, according to this concept, Umar is now asking Abbas, using the right, the honor of Abbas, that because of his position, not him making dua, we can now ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down rain upon us. So here we find Umar is turning away. If he believes we can use the rank and the prestige and the dignity of the Prophet Muhammad to make dua or to call upon the Prophet Muhammad, why does he turn to Abbas? He doesn't need to turn to Abbas, because Abbas does not equal to whom? To the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet Muhammad is the one. If you believe that he is the person, that we use his right and his honor, why does Umar turn to Abbas? Why does he go someone less, when we know that the companions would never ever tolerate any individual to stand where? In the position of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. When Abu Bakr is leading the people in prayer, what do people begin to do? They begin to make a noise, possibly clap, make some ishara that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is walking in. He's so engrossed inside his prayer, he doesn't notice. But eventually he notices, what does he do? He goes back. meaning the companions will never tolerate that any individual should lead them in the prayer except for whom? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So how can now Umar accept a companion, whether it be the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, to use him to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why does he not use the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ directly? Because why? He knows we cannot use the honor and the dignity of the Prophet ﷺ to get to that position. Likewise, you find in this hadith that when there was continuous drought, because here you find kana is istimrar, many occasions he done this action. So this also goes against their creed and their belief. They try to make ta'wil of this hadith and say that Umar was trying to teach the people. So Umar done it on that one occasion to teach the people he's allowed to make tawassul via the rank and the honor and the dignity of a pious individual. This is batil. This is false to attribute this to Umar. A muwahid, strong in his aqa'id, in his belief, a person stood for the truth, will now turn to something else and try to teach the people. And likewise, you find the action of other companions, that they only use pious and righteous individuals, and they intended by these individuals asking them to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to use the rank or the honor of that individual. The hadith itself, you go back to Fath al-Bari, you find what is the dua of Abbas. And that will clear up this confusion that some individuals are trying to create. Abbas, the words of Abbas that we find, Allahumma annahu lam yunzil bila bala illa bi dhanbin. Oh Allah, any problems or hardships, difficulties don't come upon the people except for via sinfulness or disobedience. Wa lam yukshaf illa bi tawbati. The only way to remove these difficulties is via tawbah. وَقَدْ تَوَجَّهَ الْقَوْمُ بِي لِمَكَانِي مِنْ نَبِيِّكَ. Indeed, the people have turned towards me because of my position and my relationship towards your Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. وَهَذِي أَيْدِينَا إِلَيْكَ بِالذُّنُوبِ. These are hands raised in front of you, sinful hands raised in front of you. وَنَوَاسِينَا إِلَيْكَ بِالتَوْبَ. And our necks and our forelocks are there in front of you making tawbah in it towards you, and send down the rain upon us. So this is the dua of Abbas. Where in this does it prove that Abbas, just by his position, why does Umar come to him and ask him then? The intent of this hadith is Umar is asking him to make dua. Just because the word dua is missing is what becomes ambiguous. But according to the Arabic language, if something is missing, the meaning is clear. Either they're asking the honor and the dignity of the Prophet to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're asking via dua. And the action of the companions throughout their life is to make any dua. Likewise, the Arabic language it mentions, was'al. Yani, was'al ahl al-qariya, was'al qariya, was'al al-qariya. Ask the village. Can you ask the village? Who do you ask? Was'al ahl al-qariya. Ask the people of the village. So sometimes in Arabic language, certain words are taken out, but the meaning is there. So when he's asking to make du'a, he's asking Abbas to intercede or to make wasila, he's asking Abbas, oh Abbas, because you are the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, make dua. We see you as a pious individual, and likewise we are going to make dua and say ameen upon that, that rain is sent down yani upon us. Likewise, when the actions of other companions, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, that we find with Dahaq ibn Qais, tawassala bi dua Yazid ibn Aswad al-Jurashi. When these two individuals, they also ask this tabi'i to make dua for them. There was drought, there was suffering, they turned to this individual and asked him to make dua for them. Rather, one narration you find that he was known as a pious, weeping individual. So they asked him to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inna nastashfa ilayk bi khayrina wa afdilina. Oh Allah, we intercede, we pray, and we ask you via the best and the most virtuous amongst us. So now, why does Muawiyah turn to this tabi'i? If he believes that I can ask directly via the honor and the rank of the Prophet Muhammad, why does he turn to a tabi'i? Why does he do that mistake? Or if the Umar, they mentioned Umar did not know the hadith, the blind individual, so all the companions were silent, why don't they sit at home and just make dua via the rank and the honor and the dignity of the Prophet Muhammad? Rather, we find no such narrations. You don't find any authentic narrations that any of the companions just sat at home or just said via the position and the rank of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this famous hadith, the second hadith which you find is authentic, is the hadith of the blind man. And Uthman ibn Hunayf, أن رجلا ضريرا أتى النبي فقال عد الله أن يعافيني فقال إن شئت أخر ذلك وهو خير وإن شئت دعوت. A blind man, Darir, came to the Prophet Muhammad and said, pray for me. Pray that I may be, sight may be given to me. What did the Prophet Muhammad mention to him? He said, if you want, I can pray for you. But if you delay it, that is something which is yani better for you. قال فدعو, pray for me. قال فأمره أن يتوضأ فيحسن وضوءه. He commanded, okay, I'll pray for you, but I command you to perform wudu and offer 2 units of prayer. ويدعو بهذا الدعاء, and then make dua, supplication, with these wordings. اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبيك محمد. Oh Allah, I turn to you and I face you via your prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. نبي رحمة, the prophet of mercy. يا محمد إني توجهت بك إلى ربي في حاجتي. Oh Muhammad, indeed I'm turning into my Lord via my need and my hardship, my difficulty I'm finding. فتقضي لي. Then you need bring a end or result or an answer, a decree upon what I'm suffering or what I'm going through. اللهم شفعه فيه وشفعني فيه. In Mustadrak, Imam Hakim. Oh Allah, accept my intercession for him and accept his intercession for me. What does it mean? Is it possible that a person can intercede for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The meaning of here, shafa'a huna bima'na ad-du'a, according to Arabic language. He's saying, oh Allah, accept the du'a of your Prophet for me, and I'm going to make du'a that becomes something which is plausible and something which is possible. So this hadith goes against the intent. Right from the beginning to the end of the hadith, the individual is saying, oh Prophet, pray for me. It doesn't say intercede for me in a manner that I'm using your position, your rank. If it means that, why doesn't this blind individual sit at home and say, oh Allah, I'm calling upon you via the honor and the dignity and the rank of your Prophet to cure me from my blindness. What happened? This individual was cured. Mu'jiza lil-Nabi, a miracle, as Imam Bayhaqi mentioned in his work, Dalail al-Nabuwa, given to the Prophet Muhammad, that this individual is cured via the dua, the supplication of the Prophet Muhammad, not the rank and the honor and the dignity of the Prophet Muhammad. Likewise, in other wordings, we find that if you, in sabarta, if you are patient, what does this hint to? We find a hadith in Bukhari that any individual, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ, if I test any individual with the two most beloved things to that individual, what are two beloved things? One's eyesight. The person is patient, I've taken away the eyesight, I will give that person in return nothing less but what? Paradise. So the Prophet is encouraging this individual, be patient and you'll have paradise. But this individual saying, no, I want du'a. So the Prophet fulfills his promise. If you want, I will make du'a for you. He doesn't say use my rank and use my position. So the Prophet prayed for this individual, and this individual was healed by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, find the Prophet encouraged him to do what? To do righteous actions. Perform wudu, offer 2 units of prayer, and likewise I will make du'a for you as well. And likewise, you find here, the wording that we find, it becomes something very difficult for these individuals to respond and to highlight what do these words mean. We mentioned, Allahumma shafi'u fiyya, oh Allah, accept my intercession for him and his intercession for me. These words are very difficult to respond to in the Arabic language. What does it mean? Because no one can intercede for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's been given the intercession, which is clear. So the meaning of this hadith or this wording is that accept his prayer towards me. Likewise, you find this shafa'a, this intercession, is something khas. Even take it on face value, this is something specific for the Prophet Muhammad, that he prayed for this individual and this individual was healed, or something that was for him. And we find هذا من باب الخصوصيات التي لا يدخلها القياس. These are from the specific things that no qiyas, no analogy is allowed to be derived from these actions, because these actions are specific to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if we take this hadith literally, as some individuals are doing, then that means any individual who is blind today can sit in their home and say, oh Allah, via the honor, the rank, the dignity of the messenger, remove my blindness. Does it happen? It's never happened. This individual understood the only way to get that dua to be answered is come to whom? To the Prophet whilst he is living. And his chances that dua will be accepted and responded, it was responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith goes against them. It doesn't prove the view that a person can ask via the rank and the dignity and the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, find other wordings that you find. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ حَاجَةً فَفْعَلْ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. If you have the need, then you should do likewise. This addition that we find, ulama of hadith have mentioned, this addition you find is not acceptable. That's what they're trying to point. Whoever does exactly the same thing via the rank of the Prophet, that individual will be cured, or whatever they're asking for will be responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama of hadith have talked about this. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions عَلَّ هَذِي زِيَادَ بِالشُّذُودِ. Ibn Taymiyyah, he rejects this addition as being something which is going against that which is authentic. And obviously, some individuals are going to come and try to prove the point that Hammad is a reliable narrator used by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. So how can we come along and say that the narrator of this additional wording is somebody is not acceptable? There are works of ulama, ilmu jar wa ta'dil, ilmu rijal, that you find you go and study the works of ulama of hadith. There are principles that they've laid out, which at times don't concern the awam. As we began with, our concern is to give a general message which is easy for people to understand. If things are ambiguous or hidden or difficult to understand, that's not what Islam is. But just to be technical and to be clear, what the ulama mentioned about this individual Hammad that we find, there are conditions that the narrator does not contradict one who is more reliable. So this narrator of this hadith contradicts those other people who are more reliable. Ibn Hajar, Sahib Nukhbatul Fiqh, mentioned that these are conditions that whoever is thicker, whoever is reliable, somebody who comes along is weaker than that individual, is not so reliable and contradicts that person who is more reliable, that narration becomes shadh, becomes and he rejected. Like when Imam al-Dhahbi al-Mizan highlights about this individual, reliable but commits errors. Ibn Hajar in al-Taqrib mentions reliable worshipper, but his memory deteriorated towards the latter part of his life. And even this addition was authentic, what does it mean? All that it means is come again to the Prophet in his lifetime and ask him to supplicate. That's the possible meaning of this addition. Even we go, you need to accept this addition. Then we find after addition of Uthman ibn Affan, this other wording that we find, the story of a man who came to Uthman ibn Affan and used the Prophet Muhammad as a means of tawassul in order for his need to be fulfilled in Mu'jam al-Saghir al-Kabir of Imam al-Tabarani. Uthman ibn Hunayf, he mentions that the man used to go to Uthman ibn Affan for some need which he had, and Uthman paid no attention to this individual. So this individual became upset and he came back and he complained of this to Uthman ibn Hunayf. And Uthman ibn Hunayf was an individual who attended, according to this, the hadith, the blind man, what the individual was told to do. So he said to him, go, perform wudu, read 2 units of prayer, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying this dua, O Allah, ask me and turn to you by means of your Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of mercy. O Muhammad, I turn by means of you to your Lord, the mighty and majestic, that so that he should fulfill my need for me. Then he walked to whom? To Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan then began to ask him what he want, listened to him and responded to what he wanted. When he came out, he met Uthman ibn Hunayf and he thanked him and said, I thank you for making tawassul intermediary, going and speaking to Uthman ibn Affan. He said, I never spoke to him. So how comes Uthman ibn Affan responded to you? He goes, I done the action you told me to do. So how is that possible? Then Uthman ibn Hunayf, he narrates that this is what we saw, the hadith of the blind man. So he's trying to prove that a way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just by making mention of the Prophet Muhammad. The way to get close to Uthman ibn Affan responded to this individual. If we go back to the works of ulama of hadith once again regarding this, min nahiyatil matan, from in terms of its wording that we find, you find the wordings are missing, Allahumma fashafi'u fiha wa shafi'ni fihi. That wording as mentioned before, O Allah, accept my dua for him and his dua for me, that's missing. Meaning that the person knows it's not possible to make such wordings except for to whom? To the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, you find even this is true, a single action of companion does not override the majority of the companions. Even this happens to be true, it's not possible that one single narration of one companion overrides the rest of the belief and the action of the companions. Likewise, you find in terms of matan, Uthman, very questionable. Uthman was known as a generous, a kind, a shy individual, that even the angels are shy to come in front of him. He was humble, he was soft-hearted. How can we describe, according to this hadith, that Uthman, لا يلتفت إليه, لا يحتم به, never turned to him, never looked towards him, was arrogant towards him, down-looked towards him. Is that possible? These are sifat of Uthman. Is that possible, according to all the characteristics that we know of Uthman ibn Affan, that he turned away from him and did not respond to him? Likewise, we find min nahiyatis sanad, that we find the narrator Shabib, that we find his weakness in his memory. The difference in it is from the various people narrating from it, it contradicts those stronger narrations that you find who don't narrate the story when narrating the hadith. So this addition that you find, ulama have concluded this is something which is rejected. As we mentioned, we cannot base our hadith, our belief, upon discrepancies, upon weak and fabricated hadith, and say this is a form of tawassul which is ja'iz inside the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other evidences that we find, حديث توصل آدم بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أخرجه الحاكم. We find a famous hadith or the statement, we find many times we've mentioned, is you find the tawassul of Adam, the use of Adam alayhi salam to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the usage of the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby he made that sin. Then he said, Ya Rab, as'aluka bihaqi Muhammad. Oh Allah, I ask you via the right that belongs to Muhammad. And then you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Annahu la habbul khalq ilayya ud'uni bihaqihi, his most beloved creation towards me, call upon me, yani, via my love towards the individual, and I will, yani, forgive you. وَلَوْ لَا مُحَمَّدْ مَا خَلَقْتُكَ. If it wasn't for Muhammad, I would not have created you, even Adam. Just because Imam al-Hakim, in his Mustadrak, mentions this hadith is sahih, then that's it. Anybody who studies the science of ilm al-hadith knows that Imam Hakim, if he makes hadith sahih, there's big question marks. That's what the Aqqabahu, Imam al-Dhahabi, Imam al-Dhahabi blamed him for trying to make this narration to be authentic. As for the rest of ulama of hadith, they've rejected it. La asla is mawdu. It's a fabrication to say this is something which is, and he accepted. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani mentions this as well. Likewise, you find, whoever goes out from his house for the prayer and says, Oh Allah, I ask you by the right of those who ask you, and I ask you by the right of those of this walking of mine, since I do not go out for wickedness or pride, then Allah turns his face to individual. So once again, he's saying by the rank and the prestige and the honor of an individual in the hadith, the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. We find that Imam Nawawi, Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Dhahabi all declare the narrator, Atiyah, as being something weak. And it's not just weak, it goes far beyond that. If you go and study this individual, you look at Tabaqatul Mudallisin, a book which is talking about people who make tadlis. Tadlis, you find two types of tadlis. One is a person becomes ambiguous about who they narrate from. Yani an fulan or an shaykhin, from the sheikh, from so and so. You don't know who the sheikh is. The sheikh could be saduq, could be truthful, could be a liar, could be a fabricator, could be wadda', somebody who invents ahdi. You don't know. There's ulama, anybody makes tadlis, that person will be rejected. Then you find a harsher level of tadlis, whereby the person makes tadlis, what is known as tadlis shuyukh, is hiding the sheikh, is not revealing the true identity of who they are narrating from. He's trying to confuse the people. So you find Atiyah, this narrator, he used to go to a person by the name of Kalbi. Kalbi was an individual, you find, who used to narrate fabricated narrations. He used to make false statements. So he used to say about Kalbi that I've heard this hadith from Abu Sa'id. When you make this statement, you look through this hadith, somewhere along the line you find that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is doing what? Is narrating the hadith. So when he says, I heard this hadith from Abu Sa'id, you find people now think he's narrating the hadith from whom? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He's not being crystal clear. This is the most harshest or the most severest form of tadlis that you find. If anybody is caught doing this, it's classified as a liar and the narrations are to be rejected. Because this person is full of deception. He's not clearly narrating that I heard this hadith from the sheikh or who the sheikh happens to be. And this form that we find unfortunately exists, that many of the beliefs, that those individuals who believe in this belief will begin to bring false narrations, fabricated narrations to prove what they believe in. Likewise, if I make tawassul by means of my status, for my status with Allah is very great. إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُهُ بِجَاءِ فَإِنَّ جَاءِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. If you ask, then ask by my status and my rank in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that this, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, is totally baseless. Totally baseless. This does not mean now that we reject the position, the rank. Of course, we know an average Muslim, we all know that the Prophet Muhammad is in a far superior rank in this dunya. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. We raised higher remembrance inside this dunya, and even more so inside the akhirah. أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That does not mean we're becoming derogatory, we're becoming rude, we become emotional. We're highlighting these are the evidences that show us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we give the due rights that belong to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we find the people suffer from drought in the time of Umar. So a man came to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad and said, O Messenger of Allah, pray for rain for your ummah, because they are being destroyed. So someone came to the man in a dream and said, go to Umar. So now we find coming to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad and asking, praying there, or asking the Prophet Muhammad to respond. This is a very a weak narration. Like this one, the people of Medina suffered a very severe drought. So they complained to Aisha. So she said, see the grave of the Prophet Muhammad, make an opening the roof above it so that there's nothing between it and the sky. So either you find that blessings can come down, the rain can come down. He said, so they did so. And we were blessed with rain such that crops grew and camels became fat and swollen. So this was called the year of increase. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions about this statement that this is weak and no such opening existed above yani the house of the Prophet Muhammad at that time. So all these ahadith that were here are questionable, are all open to discrepancies, open to much questioning about these ahadith. These individuals are trying to use to come close in their form of tawassul. So you find in conclusion, tawassul al-bid'i, the tawassul which is an innovated form of tawassul that you find, التوسل بذات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبجاهه أو الأقسام على الله به. To begin to use the honor, the rank of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to come close to Allah سبحانه وتعالى by saying such words, اللهم التوسل إليك بنبيك. I make tawassul, التقرب, I come close to you Allah via the rank and the position of your Prophet. Or اللهم بنبيك أو بحق نبيك. Or Allah by your Prophet or via the right of your Prophet. Remember, no creation has a right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's dangerous to use such words. بِحَقِّ نَبِيِّكَ, by the right which belongs, I ask you to forgive me or to pardon me, is something which is not allowed in the sharia sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We take an oath only by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other taking of oath is not allowed inside the sharia. Like what you find, saddan, closing the doors of that which leads to the major shirk. Yes, this form of tawassul is bid'i, is an innovative form. We're not going to go around and label whatever it may be. But this can open up the doors that an individual can begin to do what? Go and make the major form of tawassul, which is a form of shirk. And unfortunately, we find that is common inside our society, that people begin to make asking talabul hajat minhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We begin to ask their needs, removing their difficulties, their hardships, directly from whom? From the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is a tawassul, which is a tawassul of shirk. That is a tawassul which is forbidden in the sharia sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these individuals are trying to highlight. وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي التَّنْبِيهِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّنَا حِينَ نُوَدِّحْ هَذِي الْمَسَائِلِ, and that which we should pay attention when we highlight these concerns. We are not trying to degrade the honor and the rank of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran tells us, "La amliku lakum min Allahi shay'a." There's no way I can. Also in a hadith in the Sahih Muslim that we find, when he called all of the individuals and he called his own family members and told them, "There is nothing I can do to help you upon this dunya." Why is he making such statements? Are these statements trivial? I cannot benefit you in any way. Inside the akhirah, I can only make that supplication. Etc. So you find also, if a person is living, it's possible that person can help you. Musa alayhi salam, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. You find a person came and asked Musa alayhi salam to help him. That type of istighatha is allowed. A person is living and is able, as the means, that's possible. But once a person leaves his dunya, it is not the creed of Ahl Sunnah to come to the grave of the righteous, to come to the grave of the prophets, to come to these individuals when they left this dunya, to come and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via these individuals. If this was plausible and acceptable, we do not find a single companion coming to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We may think today we're going through many hardships and difficulties inside our life. The companions went through far worse difficulties and hardships inside their life. Yet you don't find one single narration mentioning that the companions came to his blessed grave and asked, "O Prophet, rescue us, help us, aid us, sustain us, give us deliverance, give us victory, give us help." You don't find that. You don't find them sitting in their homes and asking via the right of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The action of Umar is clear. He comes to a pious individual and asks him, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we used to come to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to ask him to pray for us, we ask you now, being a righteous individual, to pray for us. So you find that all that we are trying to do is, we are trying to prevent the people from opening up these doors or these avenues. That should be the task of every single Muslim. It's not a personal agenda or personal issue. We can see inside a society that many of the average Muslims are carrying out these actions and are very confused. So our task is to deliver the right message the right message of authenticity, this is what we need to do in inside our life. We are not calling any individual a mushrik or a disbeliever or person like this. That's not the intent of a Muslim. The Muslim is an individual who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with fair preaching, with admonition. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is the best individual who calls to whom? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, I am amongst the first and foremost individuals to submit. That's our call. That's our da'wah. It's not a call of Wahhabiyya or Najdiyya or certain group of individuals or to discredit Sheikh Abdul Wahhab. They tried to, written many books highlighting that this was his own agenda. He killed people. He slayed people. You read through his books in great detail. That's not what is authentic. That he was on a rampage to kill individuals or to harm individuals who built these graves, etc. These are all attacks which are placed that the people are trying to create. That is some form of animosity or hatred that we are trying to create. A disrespect for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is not our intent that we find. And the ayah that we began with, we should focus upon that inside our lives. The ayah that we began with from Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oh, you believe it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and find ways of taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what should we do? وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Strive and struggle in his path. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become successful individuals. Ibn Kathir mentions his tafsir, al-jihad, ضد المشركين والكفار والأعداء, to fight and struggle against the disbelievers, the mushrikun, etc. Fight against them, to come and fight against another Muslim. You don't agree with another Muslim's views. He highlights his views, his evidences. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear. The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad is clear. Give a rebuttal of these evidences from the Quran and the sunnah that we find. Like we find mere quotation that some of the ulama of the Hanabila, Imam Ahmad may have quoted this, or Imam Subki from the Shafi'iyah mentioned this, or Imam Shafi'i, that which has been attributed to him, that used to come to the blessed grave of Imam Abu Hanifa, etc., that we find. These are all false wordings that we find, or some of them may even be true, that Ibn Qudama and his Mughni talked about certain elements. Does that become evidence for us? Our life is not based upon a single individual, single scholar. Scholars are forgiven for their mistakes. They're human beings and certain things that they write. We are fully aware the books that Imam Suyuti wrote, Imam Subki that he wrote, other ulama, they've highlighted certain things. We don't pick up on this. We are individuals who accept something which is authentic, something which is rejected, the evidence is clear. That's what we follow inside our life. Likewise, a large portion of these individuals, they follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Go back and read his aqa'id. Read his view about individuals taking intermediaries or making wasila via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or via the pious individuals that we find. If you look at some of the books that we find, Madhab Abu Hanifa, in his book Ad-Durrul Mukhtar, a book on fiqh that we find, read the quotation we mentioned there. Likewise, you find Al-Fatawa Al-Hindiya. Likewise, you find Al-Quduri, Shara Al-Karkhi, that you find. Read these books of famous ulama of the Ahnaf, how they have rebuked those individuals to such a degree they even mention that person is a disbeliever who carries out such actions. So the affair isn't a trivial affair. That let any individual worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how they want, it's just love and emotion. Your love overrides you to do certain practices. Our love should not override us. Our love should be based upon the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that has been our journey and intent throughout our lives, inshallah, is only to present the evidences. Whoever wants to believe and listen, let them follow and believe and listen. Whoever doesn't, in alayka illa al-balagh. Upon us is to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll find that in this dunya, and inshallah even more so inside the akhirah, the truth will become crystal clear. Who are the individuals, or what is the truth that is being disseminated inside the community world around us, and that which will be proven on the day of judgment as well. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.